This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 8. In this week's show, we check in with our Zebra Furniture Flip host, Jen Talley, and our three participants. They have completed their pieces, and we hear about their experience, and we give you the details so you can go vote for your favorite. We'll check in with Chloe of Macy's House, Sierra with Restless and Refurbished, and Danielle and Evan of Potter Rebarn to find out what they are working on in their studios this week. We take some time to chat with April Hyde of Rawhide Refinishings on the topic of navigating seasons of life that require your to-do list to be shorter and progress slower. You will glean much from our conversation with April. We'll hear a refinishing tip from Yachty with Lily Moon Vintage, and you'll hear another Did You Know segment. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Believe it, our first ever Zebra Furniture Flip is now complete. All three participants have finished their pieces, and each piece is up for viewing and voting on our enjoyzebra.com website. Several of you have been following along, enjoying the transformations and challenges that each participant encountered. As well, we have enjoyed seeing our host, Jen Talley, with Perfectly Imperfect Furniture, check in with each refinisher and also offer up those beloved lifelines to help resolve any issues that they ran into. And, you know, with furniture refinishing, there's always surprises, excitement, and challenges. So you don't always know what kind of problems may occur after you get started. Jen, you picked these ugly pieces, and they were ugly. Can you believe now we have these beautiful swans?
Oh my gosh, Lane, I knew that when I picked them, I knew they had potential. So part of me is not so much surprised, but then there's another part of me that is just absolutely blown away at how good they look.
And you know what's interesting too is my reaction was throughout the whole process. It was cool to see these updates and see what they were working on and seeing, okay, the color's on, or, you know, they've done this to it or that to it, made some changes to it. But to see the unveiling, I mean, I should have expected to see what I saw, but I was blown away. I mean, honestly, all three of other participants did a phenomenal job. And let me welcome back to the podcast our three participants. It's Jess with Refreshed by Jess, Jeanette with Vintage Roots Painted, and Candace with Casually Southern. Are you guys ready for a mini vacation?
For sure.
Yes.
No way. Keep going. This is my vacation.
Well, honestly, you guys probably deal with this on a pretty normal basis, don't you? I mean, you're furniture refinishers, so this is not totally abnormal.
That's right.
I actually have a piece due tomorrow.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, right in line with the deadline for the flip, too. That was nice. Well, I assume everyone is happy with how their pieces turned out. I can't imagine anyone being dissatisfied with any of these three results. I know Jen has some questions for each of our refinishers, and before I turn it over to Jen, I do want to give special thanks to our sponsors, Mud Paint, D. Lawless, and Zebra. Each quickly shipped out product to all participants as soon as the choices were made. Also, a big thank you to Jen. This was her original idea, and Jen, you did a brilliant job. You poured through all the ugly duckling entries and narrowed it down to three, just three. Then you encouraged and communicated to the refinishing community through the process. We'll share some more details at the end because the flip is not over yet. Now it's all about you, the listeners, voting for your favorite. So I'm going to turn it over for Jen to ask some of our participants some questions.
All right. So ladies, I don't know. I guess I just want to, first of all, thank you guys for participating. It's been so much fun. But I think one of the questions I want to ask you guys is just, what are your thoughts? Were there certain areas that were harder than you thought, or did you struggle where maybe you didn't think you would? Just how would you kind of wrap up this last week and a half, this experience? What would you say?
Yeah, I personally cannot wait to see Jenna and Candace's piece. Like, I'm so excited to see the before and afters. It's been so much fun and just doing this with you guys. I think the biggest thing that I've learned personally is that I will never buy a previously painted piece ever again in my whole life. I'm still washing sand out of my ears. It was awful taking that old finish off. And it was, I'm pretty sure it was lead-based paint and it had been on there for 50 years and I thought it would come off a lot easier.
Wow.
But it was really cool though, just shed all of that off and then just, you know, the I wouldn't say there was a hidden treasure underneath because it wasn't really great wood, but to be able to prep that surface and then paint over it, you know, using a new paint, I think that was a big challenge, for all of us, just kind of learning, how to use that and, you know, new top coat, all of that was definitely, fun and a challenge in itself. And I'm ready to see everybody's pieces. I can't wait.
I feel like that it was a great experience. A friend of mine and I were talking, and she said, well, this has definitely stepped up your social media game. And so I guess in the process of doing all this, I was trying to, you know, promote excitement and anticipation and that kind of thing. And it was just really exciting for me. I learned how to flip a vanity from a vanity into two nightstands. So that was an accomplishment, the first time I've ever done that. Most of all, it was exciting, and also getting to know Jeanette and Jess a little bit in the behind the scenes was really nice.
I would have to agree. Getting to know these other ladies and watching them work was so much fun. I think we discussed earlier, I'm not really that competitive. I'm in it for the fun. So it was really, really great to be a part of it with them. I also found that it, because they are the ugliest of the ugly ducklings, the challenge really was how dilapidated the piece was that we started with, and the amount of time that we had to get these things rolling out and not being able to ask for outside help. A lot of the times, my husband will help me with some difficult things, and this time I had him maybe stand by and watch me and tell me if I was doing it wrong. That was a little bit difficult.
That is so awesome. And you guys, honestly, I hear like two main things from all of your answers that I just feel like I have to shed light on. Is one, like, each one of you learned something new through this competition that you may have otherwise not have learned. So that in and of itself is like a win for everybody. You know, like Candace said, she learned how to separate a vanity into nightstands. That's huge. I mean, that's something that I haven't tried yet. And honestly, I'm too scared to, you know, so like this is something that pushed her to do that. Or like Jess said, buying a piece that is probably lead paint and stripping it down to nothing. So, and Jeanette saying that she wanted her husband to stand back. Like, you guys, that's huge. You all learned something from this. So like I said, that in and of itself is a win. And then I think the other thing that I took away from your guys' answers is the testament to this amazing community. Like, none of you guys are like, I want to win, I got the best piece. You're all like, one of the best things that came out of this was getting to know each other and working with each other behind the scenes. And I can tell you guys that that's just a little snippet of what this whole furniture community really is. And I just think that's so amazing. And I feel the same way being a part of this competition, because I've been able to get to know the three of you better as well. And it's been so, so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really grateful for your, you know, guidance and support and all of your lifelines, Jen. So really thank you, and Lane, for putting this all together. It's been an amazing experience. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I think you struck a chord with me, Jen, and with the furniture community that's on Instagram. Everyone is so quick to help if you have a question, or you post in your stories that you're struggling with this or that. So it's always nice. And I'm always there if anybody needs anything, to just, you know, ask me a question, and I'll be happy to get back to you and answer you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jen and Lane, both, for putting up with me and my paint problems.
Oh my gosh. But that's part of it though, Jeanette. It's, you know, when you're trying new products and trying new things, it's like, you're going to have questions, you're going to run into problems. And that's where it's so nice to know that there is such an amazing community behind you that is willing to step up and help. So
definitely.
Yeah. 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 So I just have one more question for you guys. Knowing what you know now, is this something that you guys would take part in again if you had to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
It was very fun.
Yes. Yeah. When's the next one?
Well, that's good to hear, because I know
I'm breaking out the champagne today.
Well, I think I should ask Jen, would you do this again?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I would. It's part of what I love most about furniture refinishing is watching the transformation. So, you know, absolutely. It's a lot of work. You guys know, like, even though I wasn't doing the physical work, there's a lot of behind the scenes that we were all doing, you know, as far as our check-ins and these podcasts and videos and stuff like that. It does take a lot of time and it was a lot of work, but I have to tell you guys, it's been worth it. It's been fun to watch you guys. It's been fun to get to know you. And now that I've seen your pieces, I mean, just like Lane said earlier in the podcast, like I knew they were going to be good because you guys are all amazing artists, first of all, but just, we saw kind of sneak peeks along the way. But when I saw those final pictures today, it was like, oh, almost took my breath away. Like this is what I want the world to know. Like, don't pass up those ugly ducklings that are on the side of the road or at a rummage sale that normally you'd walk right by, because look at what they can be. So I it just makes me very excited.
All three of you did an incredible job, and each of you went above and beyond doing things you didn't have to do, embellishments, painting techniques, etched glass, just absolutely amazing and well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Lane.
Thanks, Lane.
As we mentioned earlier as well, make sure you go to enjoyzebra.com and click on the Zebra Furniture Flip tab, and you can check out the incredible transformations. You'll be able to vote for your favorite. Voting ends next Monday, April 19th, 2021 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will announce the winner of the Zebra Furniture Flip event on Wednesday's podcast, April 21st. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hi, everybody. Chloe here from Maze's House. And I am having a really good day because I've just dropped the children off at school. It feels good. I mean, I love them so much, but I can never get any work done when they're home. So I've got some Chloe time this morning, and I'll be going down to my workshop, which is at the end of the garden, to start on an art and furniture paint series. So I'll be doing canvas and furniture all at once in a similar theme and a similar colour palette as well. So I've picked navy, orange and pink, and then I'm going to paint these bright bold florals on there. So I'm quite excited about that. I think it's going to be good, and I can't wait to get my paintbrushes out. Basically, have a good week, everybody. Speak to you soon. Bye bye.
Hi there, this is Sierra with Russell's and Refurbished. My business partner, Nikki, and I, we go furniture hunting every week looking for new inventory for our storefront. We try to refinish anywhere between 8 and 15 new pieces each week between the two of us. And this week, I am currently working on a huge vintage armoire and restoring it to the natural wood. This is a piece that I did find locally. It's absolutely stunning. It has two doors that open up to shelving, two drawers at the base of it, and I have had a really hard time determining the era of this piece, but I know that just to bring it back to its natural beauty, refinishing of the wood is the direction that I would love to go in. So I'm currently working on that, and I know that between the two of us, Nikki and I have many other pieces coming this week that we can't wait to share with everybody.
Hi, this is Evan and Danielle with Potter Rebarn, just checking in and tell you what's going on in our shop right now. Danielle, what's going on in our shop right now?
We have quite a few commission projects that we need to finish up. We're working on a client's desk and a credenza today. Plus, we have a few really awesome pieces that we sourced waiting to be rescued in our garage, including a campaign-style bar cabinet and a really gorgeous oak buffet. We're actually preparing to move our primary residence and our workspace to Trumbull, Connecticut by the end of this summer. So we've been juggling a lot as we get ready to take a short hiatus from commissioned work until we're in our new space.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Pottery Barn to see our latest arrivals. That's pretty much how I find out.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. One of the things we can all attest to is the ever-changing seasons of life. Some of these seasons are welcomed with excitement, and others are not, but either way, these seasonal changes require us to make adjustments. Today, we are talking with one of our friends, April Hyde of Rawhide Furnishings. She has had health challenges as well as the excitement of having a baby a couple years ago. April, it's great to have you on the podcast for the first time.
I'm so excited. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, I just can't believe we waited this long. It's crazy. You're
I
somebody that's
know.
been around in the industry a long time. A lot of people look up to you, so it's really good to have you on today. Now, are you in Tennessee?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, yes.
So we're kind of neighbors. North Carolina is right next to Tennessee, but Nashville, I think, as far as where I live, is about 6 hours. So it'd be a bit of a drive to get to that portion of Tennessee, but that's a popular portion of Tennessee, isn't it?
It certainly is. And 6 hours sounds like nothing to me because we drive to see family in Texas and the shortest jaunt there is 9 hours. So
oh, wow.
6 hours sounds like a breeze.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're listening to the podcast on the way, right?
Exactly. It does make for good driving listening.
So what kind of weather you have in there today?
Oh, it's overcast today and mid 70s. I think the pollen count is trending downward starting today in Nashville. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but man, the allergies are kicking everybody's tail here for the last week. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the only downside to the spring is just the heavy pollen count. And yeah, a lot of people are struggling with that. I hope you can begin feeling better soon. Have you guys had any rain lately?
We did have some rain yesterday, I think. I don't know. The days all start to run together. Yesterday, day before. Yeah, we get quite a bit of rain here. And I always think, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to wash some of that. You know, you can see a thin layer of yellow on everything here right now. And so the rain is good.
Yeah, all the cars are yellow right now, aren't they?
Exactly. Yes.
So you have been refinishing for several years now. How long?
Oh, let me think. I started in my very first ever furniture thing was August of 2015, I think. And then I officially kind of made it a business in that November of 2015. So going on 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. So you're a pro in the industry. So what got you into refinishing?
It's a long story and I don't know how much of it I should tell here on this podcast just because our time is limited, but I blogged about this, so I'll just try to share a shortened version of it. And if people want to read the whole story, you can go and check out my blog about it. But so my husband and I were trying to start a family, and we had a 5-year journey with infertility. And as part of that, we decided that I needed to leave my full-time job as part of that journey. That was always part of the plan once we started our family. And when that didn't happen, we thought, well, maybe that'll take some stress off. So just to leave that and do nothing, one, it was weird because I've had a job since I was 16 years old. You know, I've never not worked. And the other part of that is I knew my coworkers who I'd worked with for 15 years at that point. I figured when I told them I was leaving that their next question naturally would be, oh, what are you going to do next? And so I started before I left looking for something that I could do, you know, to make some money and also just to answer that question so that we weren't publicly sharing at that time that we were trying to start a family and that we were having some infertility issues. And so I needed an answer to that question. And so I stumbled across furniture painting somehow. I don't even remember how. And so I just decided to go out and buy some project pieces. I found a couple chairs on Craigslist or something and found Annie Sloan paint and went and grabbed some paint brushes and just thought, I'm going to just see if I even enjoy doing this. And so I did. And I loved it. Loved the transformation. So I got another couple pieces and I think I got nightstands next and painted those. And I thought, these are really good. Like, I want to see if somebody will try to buy these. And they sold. And so I was like, maybe there's something to this. And at that time, there wasn't this great furniture painting community that there is now. And so it was just kind of figuring it out as I went. And then, so yeah, here I am 5 years, 6 years, almost 6 years later, still, I love it so much.
Yeah, it's funny that first sale really propels you into the excitement and energy of it all, doesn't it?
It does. For somebody to take something that you put a lot of work into and, you know, choose to buy it and have it in their home is very satisfying.
So how would you classify your style?
Oh, I've been all over the place over the years, but lately I really love in my personal and furniture painting style, I really lean towards a boho style. I love incorporating bold patterns and colors, and occasionally when a client requests it, or if I need a quick sale, I'll do something that's a little more calm because when you incorporate those bold patterns and things, it does take the right buyer, to latch on to those things, but eventually they do come. It just takes a little more time, but that's what I really love doing is the bold patterns and colors, and those are the things that inspire me.
You also sell refinishing supplies like paint and brushes. How long have you been retailing?
I've only been retailing for about a year, I think, and it's going well. It takes a lot of time and resources up front to get that going, but I feel like it's been a really good thing, especially in this season of life when I'm not able to paint as much. Having the retail paint and brushes and things gives me another source of income, that is pretty much hands off except for restocking and those sorts of things at this point.
Yeah, and that probably takes the pressure off a little bit too from just making money off of the reselling of the furniture.
Absolutely, it does.
Do you sell primarily online or do you have a little shop?
I sell online. I can drop ship stuff, and then I do have a little booth at, I don't know if you've heard of Painted Tree Boutiques. They have several locations. I think their original location was in Arkansas. They've got a couple in Texas and one in Georgia. So the one here is in Franklin, which is just south of Nashville. So I have a little booth there, and it's just boutique vendors. It's a really cool place and a good fit, I feel like, for what I do. I'd thought about having a booth at some point, along the way, to sell furniture and things. And the only places I could think of that have booths are like antique malls and things. And I don't feel like that really makes sense for my buyers, my customers. That's not what I look for when I go to an antique mall. And so I feel like Painted Tree is such a great fit for what I do, and it's been going really well.
And you said you have that it's in Franklin, right?
It is.
Oh yeah, Franklin's a beautiful little town, isn't it? I mean, it's such a unique place.
Yes, and it's right next to the Hobby Lobby lane. So it's good. Get your
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby and your Painted Tree. Get your paint and go get your decor and all the other things at Hobby Lobby. It's great.
It's a full swoop in one trip.
Exactly.
Now, also our friend Christina with Pretty Distressed is in Franklin. I think you guys are friends, are you not?
Yeah, I can't remember who started this group, but we're in a little Instagram group that's Nashville area furniture refinishers. So it's really cool to have that resource where we can kind of go to one another and say, hey, does anyone know where I can get this? Or have you guys seen that? Or, it's been really great. And Christina actually did a video just this past week where she was trying the paint that I retail for the first time. And so she had messaged and said, hey, do you have any tips for me for the first time using the paint? And so, yeah, that was really cool and nice of her to give me a shout out on her video. So, yeah, so she's in this area, and there are several of us, and it's fun to be in touch with those gals and see what everybody's up to.
Do you guys ever run into each other at sales or like going to grab maybe a new piece of furniture and you're there together bidding against each other, maybe?
Oh, I haven't run into anyone in that instance, but my friend Tess, of A Southern Story, I don't know if you follow her, she and I used to go to flea market trips together when the flea market was happening prior to COVID. And man, I miss that so much. But we would go to the flea market. We actually did a Facebook Live video together where we went shopping at the flea market together. And then we did a Facebook Live together where we were painting the pieces that we found. And that was just really fun.
That is something. I mean, because like when you go to a flea market, you're hunting for treasure, right? So you don't know what you're going to find, and it's especially fun when you get it at a really, really cheap price.
Oh, yeah. I miss the flea market so much. I made it a point to go. We had a really great one here once a month. And I would go every single month just to see. You just never know what you're going to find there. And I think they're planning to bring it back hopefully this May in a different capacity. But
yeah,
I'm excited about it nonetheless.
Well, we, of course, appreciate you selling our brushes. It's an incredible compliment when someone not only uses our brushes, but sells them as well. You definitely don't want to sell something you don't believe in. That's for sure.
Of course. Oh, man. My zebra, I even told Christina, you know, there are lots of different brushes that I use and like, but I said with this paint, especially, I love my zebra brushes. I love the Palm Pro is my favorite. I love the square brush is so handy for like all those little trim areas where it fits just perfect and you don't have to have a lot of over brushing. And I truly, truly love them. And of course, when I have something I love, if I have an opportunity to offer it to people who also want to paint or do projects, then of course I'm happy to do that.
That's so neat because that's one of the things I know the community values with each other is keeping up with one another and what products you use, what tools you're using, and everybody's honest about that. And so it's really neat, especially if you're new and you're starting out and you're not really sure what you should be using, what paint products to try out, and even the processes. I mean, Instagram alone is a wealth of information when you dive into the furniture community. So that's really cool.
It surely is. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll return shortly and continue our conversation with April. Support for Zebra's Before and After comes from Zebra, the brush company that produces application-specific paintbrushes that will literally change your paint life. Whether you are painting a room, creating a craft, or refinishing a furniture piece, Zebra has you covered. Each one of our thoughtfully designed brushes has a specific purpose in mind, and each one is packed with unique and proprietary filaments that are smaller in diameter, allowing us to give you 25% more filament pack out than your standard brush. That translates to smooth finishes and fun brushing. Zebra brushes give you the opportunity to fill your work and guide it to your desired destination. Enjoy and paint on. April, you had a pretty big hurdle to deal with. You were diagnosed with something that is a bit uncommon, I believe. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so in 2018, I love to work out. I've always been athletic, did athletics in high school, and I just enjoy a good workout. And I do CrossFit now is my outlet for that. And mm-hmm. so I had done a pretty challenging workout and long story short was diagnosed with something called rhabdomyolysis. Which I'd never heard of mm-hmm. prior to having it myself. And it is pretty rare, I came to find out. But I basically had, I did the workout on a Monday. And by Wednesday, I noticed that one of my arms was really swollen. And I was super, super sore, which is not uncommon for me. I love, you know, having a good hard workout. And I love that feeling of being sore, like I really did something.
Mm-hmm, right. No pain, no gain, right?
Exactly. So I wasn't alarmed at the soreness. I mean, it was unusually mm-hmm. sore, like I couldn't straighten my arms. The swelling was something I'd never experienced. And so I was like, I thought maybe I'd just strained a tendon or something. And so I made an appointment that Thursday morning after the Monday workout. And went to my chiropractor because they offer some therapies that are for inflammation and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so I had gone to them to get treated and then it just wasn't getting any better on Thursday. So I started Googling it as we all do mm-hmm. when we have some sort of ailment. You try to Google it and see what's going on and started seeing all these things about rhabdomyolysis coming up. And I was really alarmed because it can be deadly. Basically, your muscle proteins break down into your blood so quickly that it can harm your kidney function mm-hmm. To the point of your kidney shutting down if you don't get treatment for it. And so I'm Googling this on Thursday night and I blogged about this and I was reading it back before today just to remember that experience because it's, you know, it was 2018 and I remember after I read it, I was remembering, you know, I was laying there in bed, Googling this, thinking I'm probably going to have to go into the hospital for treatment, because everything I read was saying the only treatment for it is getting IV fluid so that you can flush your kidneys. So I was laying there thinking, I'm not going to get up and, like, I'll get one more good night's sleep in my own bed if I'm going to have to go to the hospital, you know, which was a silly thing for me to do, having read everything I'd read about the condition. But anyway, Friday morning, I got up and went to the clinic and found out that afternoon they called me back and said, yeah, you do need to go to the hospital and get treatment. So I was in the hospital for like 3 days getting IV fluids to flush my kidneys out, and everything was fine with my kidneys after that point. But something that I really struggled to find information on was after your kidneys are fine and you're recovering from rhabdo, my arm felt like I had run a marathon. When I would wake up in the morning, it was just exhausted. Like, brushing my teeth was difficult. Like, I could brush my teeth and then I'd have to sit down and like literally couldn't lift my arm. In my blog post, I said just typing the blog post was taxing on my arm, which is, it's just so mind boggling. So you can imagine painting was very difficult. And then there's also the risk of reoccurrence from rhabdomyolysis once you've been diagnosed with it. So I had to be super careful afterwards. And the doctor said no painting for 4 to 6 weeks, just to let your body recover from that. And I had custom jobs that I was in the middle of. And I was like, I can't let these sit for 4 to 6 weeks. Like, that's a really long time for these people to wait to get their stuff back from me. And so I had to enlist the help of, I call them my biz buddies, because I met them via a coaching group that I was in, but they are definitely more friends than, you know, business acquaintances or whatever. But I had one who came over and helped me spray beds to get those finished, and then I had a dresser I was working on that needed to be glazed and top coated, and I had other friends come and help me do that, because I literally could not physically lift a finger to do any of that, which was just insane to be in that position where you physically are unable to do normal stuff.
Yeah, it's like you hit a block wall.
Exactly.
Now, what was going through your mind? I mean, so you're 3 years into your business, because you said you started that in 2015. This happened in 2018. You obviously had the ability to reach out to good friends that you did. What was going through your mind? Were you thinking, this is like, I'm not going to be able to do furniture finishing again? Or were you pretty positive? Are you more the type of person where your glass is half full or half empty?
I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
That particularly was super frustrating, because it wasn't only painting, it was just getting through the day. Getting out of bed and, like I said, brushing my teeth or taking a shower. Or weeks later, I remember I was standing in a room that was a little warm, and I took a piece of paper to fan my face, you know, to cool off. And my arm was like, nope, not happening. Wow. Months and months and months later, I could still feel the residual effects from that. And so this was a really long stint of, I guess, kind of retraining my brain to, you know, listening to your body and saying, you know, I'm just not able to do this right now. And hopefully at some point I will be able to. So that was hard, because, like I said, there wasn't a ton of information out there about recovering from that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how long it would be before I could do normal things and not be in pain or worried about, are my kidneys okay? Do I need to go get my CPK levels checked again, get my blood drawn? And so that aspect of it was hard, but also just like the mindset of it, just making yourself go, my body can't do it right now. Like, I just need to be okay with what I can do. And thankfully at the time, I wasn't retailing product yet. But I had, like I'd mentioned, been in a coaching group, and I had set up a couple of tutorials online that people could
purchase. And so I had a little bit of income from those things, thankfully, that I had already put in place prior to that. It was really hard to manage my expectations of what I was able to do. It was very frustrating.
Well, now, is rhabdo, is that considered an autoimmune disease?
I don't know. I don't think so. It can be caused by, in my case, it was caused by an extraneous workout. It can be caused by medicines, like some people who were taking statins have had rhabdomyolysis. So I don't think it's an autoimmune thing. I think it's just, it's this freak thing that it's one incident that causes it. And then some people go back to normal, you know, after a few months, and some people struggle with it for, I don't know how long, you know. I think it's yet to be determined based on the person and based on how severe the case was. And
right. Yeah. And information is so important. You know, there's so many different, you know, diseases and things that can trigger different types of ailments. But, you know, because you look at a situation like that where you feel really tired and you probably got multiple people saying multiple things like, well, you know, maybe really push yourself or no rest, you know, and it's important to know what you need, because you, in certain types of ailments, you don't need to push yourself because that can just make matters worse and create more inflammation in the body.
Exactly.
How are you doing right now? I mean, have you overcome the rhabdo now?
For the most part, yes. I remember, though, let's see, that was 2018 and our son was born in, I should know, it's 2019.
I know, it's hard. So, the pandemic has totally warped the time and it's really got everybody messed up.
So he was born in 2019, a full year after my rhabdomyolysis diagnosis. And I remember, so I met a fellow on Instagram, actually, who is an expert on rhabdomyolysis as much as one can be, since there's not, you know, we don't know everything there is to know about it, but he goes around speaking on it. And so I found him and would message him occasionally. He actually has a book that I got, that was really helpful. But so when our son was born and, you know, holding a baby all the time, my arm was so painful and swollen still from that, when I would hold him all the time. And I remember messaging Joe and saying, is this normal? Like, it's been a year, you know, shouldn't I not have these same feelings? And sometimes when I would paint before our son was born, you know, when I would try to paint more than usual or whatever, and thought I had given myself plenty of time to recover it, you know, my arm would tell me, nope, you need to slow down, do a little less.
Yeah, and it's important to listen, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Well, that's exciting that you have, is he two now, your son?
He's almost two, yes, which is so hard to believe.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. That's so exciting. I guess that was, you know, interesting to sort of coming out of the struggle with the rhabdo and then, of course, you know, be pregnant and going through that process and having the excitement of having a little one. I mean, as mentioned in the beginning, you know, we all face challenges in life, and with a business, you know, you have to learn how to roll with these changes. And you've touched on a few of these, but tell us about how you did adjust to these challenges. I mean, what specific things, and a lot of it, I'm sure, is a mindset as well.
Yeah. So with rhabdo, I really didn't have much of a choice. It was like my body wouldn't let me do the things I wanted to do. But with having a new baby, and to some degree with a new baby, you know, for a few months, you literally physically can't do much else than get a shower and brush your teeth and keep a tiny human alive. But after that, you know, when you kind of settle into a groove, it's just a matter of figuring out what's realistic for you to accomplish. You know, for me, my mind was ready to jump into other things again. And honestly, I didn't know when I was pregnant, you know, leading up to him arriving, I didn't know once he got here if I would even want to paint anymore. But when he got here, I found, you know, that I love him so much. I love spending all this time with him, but I do still want to paint. I still want to do that thing that I feel so passionate about. And so I had to just find, you know, that balance for me, for what is realistic for me to accomplish. You know, I, leading up to, you know, before I was pregnant, and before rhabdo, I could make a to-do list. I could spend all day in my shop painting all day long. You know, I could have two or three projects going at a time, and it was no big deal. It was just adjusting and figuring out, okay, that's not realistic anymore. I need to readjust my mindset of, you know, maybe today I might get one coat of paint or primer or something on one piece, maybe, you know, and that's gotta be enough for today. And that's okay. You know, and that's a process. It's still a process, you know, 2 years later, with him being almost 2 years old, I still have to mentally check myself and go, it's okay. Like, this was on the to-do list. I probably was a little aggressive with the to-do list for today. It's fine.
Do you literally write a to-do list each day?
I do. Yeah, I have a planner, and I saw Sarah from Sitting Pretty Home Decor. She shared her to-do list one day on her planner, and I totally do that. I'll, like, you know, get another coat of paint on this green dresser, do a coat of primer on this one, get this one sanded and prepped, you know. I totally do that. Not every single day, but like when I have a day when I know I have an opportunity to be a little productive, I do love to make a list, and I love checking things off that list so that I feel like, yes, did that.
That is part of the reward of making a list, isn't it? Is to be able to scratch it out or check it off or highlight it and know that you, it just feels good to complete things.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, you being sort of a to-do list kind of person, because not everybody is. I think it's probably something you need to do if you're in business and you've got a lot going on. It just helps and it kind of keeps you on track. But, and then being goal-oriented, would you say was this the biggest challenge that you faced, having to settle for accomplishing less?
Yeah, I think so. The mindset is the biggest thing, because like you were saying earlier, you don't want to live in a state of frustration. And if you're a to-do list maker, and the thing that makes you feel productive is checking things off your list, well, you know, I can plan to get a certain amount accomplished during a nap time. And if the baby wakes up early and I don't get what I had set out to do accomplished, then it's frustrating, you know? Yeah. And so just that mindset is, it's a tough thing to wrangle, but I just have to remind myself that this is a season, you know, and I know that he won't be little forever.
Yeah.
And at some point he'll go to school, and, you know, there will be different amounts of time, you know, that fluctuate that I'll have to be productive. But, I don't want to look back at this season and go, oh, I wish I had spent more time with him when he was little. You know, I don't think I will look back and think, I wish I'd painted more furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just reminding myself that it is a season and that it's temporary, and to appreciate the season for what it is.
Yeah.
And it's really tempting to look around at everybody around me and see what everyone else is accomplishing and go, oh, I wish I was doing that, or I wish I could do more or make more videos or paint more pieces a month, or, you know, things like that. And it's just not the season that I'm in right now, and that's okay.
And it's just with that, it's just really assessing your own situation and circumstance and where you're at right now in life, and then creating practical goals and not trying to set goals that are just beyond what you can meet. And what
exactly
you just said is really key, because the thing about social media is that it's a huge gift in the fact that we get to make new friends and stay in touch with people that we would not have normally. But at the same time, it's looking at the other side of the fence and thinking that the grass is greener over there than it is over here. And we just have to avoid doing that. You've offered a lot of really good insight into what you've gone through, from the unexpected diagnosis to the excitement of having a two-year-old. I would imagine one of the challenges with, especially with furniture refinishing, is you can go into two different routes. You can buy your pieces and sell them. you know, at your own leisure, or you can do the custom work. And I would, and the custom work really brings the demands and the challenges because of deadlines. Are you doing a lot of custom work right now? Have you integrated that back into your schedule?
I have started taking on some custom work, and it's funny. I've thought to myself, I should like put that out there on social media that I'm taking taking custom work again, but I'm terrified of being overwhelmed by it. And the funny thing is I haven't had to put it out there. Like I just have through word of mouth or previous clients. I've had people about the time I will finish one custom job, somebody will come to me and say, hey, would you do this one for me? And so it's been interesting how that's played out. So I've had just, you know, one piece a month or something like that to do, but I wasn't doing customs for a long time just because, like you said, the deadline is, it's a little overwhelming when you don't know exactly how much time you're going to have to put towards it. And I don't want to put myself in the position where I'm stressed and, you know, taking it out on the baby or my husband or, you know, I would rather just paint when I can and, you know, list them to be sold. But when I did dip my toe back into custom work, I think one thing that's really important, and the things I'm saying are really common sense probably, but hopefully it's helpful to somebody who's in a season of life that's challenging or requires less of you. But making sure my clients are aware of my time limitations and setting their expectations to know that, hey, I'm a mom of a 2-year-old. And yes, maybe before when I worked with you, I got it to you in 2 weeks, but now it's going to be a little bit longer because I'm essentially working during nap time every day and an occasional day here and there when we have help to, you know, watch the boy or whatever. But just setting those expectations so that they know what to expect, you know, so that it's just understood. So you're not putting, I'm not putting pressure on myself to get something done in an unrealistic amount of time.
Well, and you're also prioritizing. I mean, when you talk about your 2-year-old and making sure that, you know, that you can spend the time that you want to and not regretting that. And I know that it's difficult for everybody because, some people, you know, are single parents. Some people, you know, furniture refinishing is their primary source of income. And so it's different for every person, but you still, I think it is going back and assessing, you know, what's really important. Because I would agree with you, especially about, you know, your son and spending time with him and making sure you don't regret or looking back and regret. I mean, we have 3 kids. We've got an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 9-year-old. You know, you always, even though, you know, we homeschool, so, you know, our kids are with us, you know, all day, so we get to enjoy that, and it's such a, you know, huge privilege, but you still look back, I think, and think, yeah, I wish I had done this more, you know, and you do, you look back at more of those relationships more than you do the work aspect. Like you just said, you don't really go back and go, I wish I had refinished instead of 100 pieces in 2020, I wish I had done 150 pieces, you know, or what, whatever the number is. I mean, it is about the value of those relationships. So that's really, really good advice. And you're really thoughtful. I mean, you really think through your situation and you assess it realistically. So that's really good insight, I think, that we can all take from your experience as well. And it's, you know, it's really good to hear that you're better.
And thank you for saying what you said about it. Everyone's situation is different, you know. Single parents, hats off to you, because I cannot imagine how difficult that is. My husband travels from time to time, and when he's gone, I'm like, I can't imagine doing this all the time. And I know when we're in a situation, for whatever reason, we just do what we have to do, because that's what you have to do. And people from the outside looking in say, oh, that would be so hard. And, you know, to us, we're just doing it because that's what we do. Yeah. Everyone's situation is different, and my situation may look different than someone else's, but hopefully there are things that we can all take, and, you know, and just being real with yourself and knowing, or for me, being realistic with myself and knowing what I can realistically accomplish without overburdening my family and my time and my mental health and my physical health, you know, all of those things taking into consideration, and then just trying to balance it all. It's just easier said than done sometimes, but.
It is, but, you know, one of the benefits of our podcast is that we know that everybody's situation's different, but, you know, we always trust that there's a lot of gleaning that takes place. You know, maybe you can't apply what somebody else does, you know, totally, but you can pull some insight from it and glean from it. And, you know, it just helps us to stop and think and that, you know what, that's a really good point. I need to think more methodically about what I'm doing from maybe a 30,000 foot view, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, getting kind of lost in all the detail. And then the next thing you know, time has passed, and then you start having regrets and live in a state of frustration. What about the enjoyment factor with your work now? I mean, you look back and before you had the diagnosis and even before the blessing of having a child, is the furniture finishing still the same enjoyment? Is it increased? Tell us a little bit about that.
I would say it's probably increased. I think, I don't know that I appreciate it more than I did before, but it's definitely something that I can look forward to, you know, it's me time, you know?
Yeah.
And for moms, I know most moms can probably relate, when you get any time to yourself, it's like, what do I want to do first? Do I want to, and sometimes the necessary things are, I've got to fold laundry, I've got to clean the kitchen, I've got to whatever, you know, X, Y, Z. There's so many things on the list that you could choose to do or that you have to do. And so on the days when he's napping or whatever, I get a day to myself, to get to paint on those days is such a treat for me now. Painting, even before he was born, was such an outlet for me, and like an outlet I don't think I even knew that I needed. And it was such a friend to me during that infertility journey. It was just a mm-hmm. place I could go with just me and my paintbrush and my paint, and just let go of all the things, all the thoughts, all the stuff, you know, that was clouding mm-hmm. my mind or whatever, and just be creative and paint. And so I love it, I think, even more now than I did when I first started. But yeah.
Oh, painting really is therapy, isn't it?
It truly, truly is.
Yeah, you don't have to lay down on a couch.
Exactly.
You can take that paintbrush and go at it.
Exactly. Well,
April, it's not always easy sharing about your struggles with the public, but you have offered a lot of incredible insight and hope to others, and you're a tremendous inspiration. Really appreciate your time, and we certainly wish you the best, and we'll have you back on the podcast soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me and for taking the time to talk to me, and for everything that you guys do, seriously, for the furniture painting community. I love how you guys support and lift up everyone and really create the sense of community within the furniture painting world. So I love everything that you guys do, and thanks.
We appreciate that. It's certainly an enjoyment for us, and it's definitely our pleasure. Well, you have a good day, April.
Thanks, Lane. You too.
Today's refinishing tip comes from Yadi with Lily Moon Vintage.
Hey guys, it's Yadi over here at Lily Moon Vintage, and today I wanted to share with you guys a quick little tip on how to clean your brushes. So if I'm ever using any type of oil-based products like a primer or a sealer or anything like that, especially your Bin Shellac primer, I like to clean those with pure ammonia. I personally prefer the lemon-scented ammonia because it's not as strong. But try cleaning your brushes with ammonia rather than just buying cheap chip brushes and then tossing them out when you're done. Maybe invest in some really good quality zebra brushes, wink, wink, and then clean them when you're done with some pure ammonia. I promise you it will leave them super soft and feeling like new. Try it. Let me know how it works. I'll talk to you guys later.
We love that tip, Yadi, especially the wink, wink. And friends, just a reminder, when you are using strong cleaners, it's always best to wear an air filtration mask so you are not breathing in those strong airborne particles. Did you know that milk paint has been around for years, thousands of years, even back to the days of the pharaohs? King Tutankhamun's tomb revealed that there were multiple items painted with milk paint. I know many of us, when we first were introduced to milk paint, most likely assumed that it was nothing more than basic milk with a little extra cream. Well, let's hope not. Milk paint has gone through a myriad of different formulations over the thousands of years as it has been perfected. If you have used milk paint, you know that it primarily comes in a powdered form that you mix with water. It requires a little extra work up front, but then that is part of the experience. It also has more of a watery consistency, and it's fun to watch as it dries, giving you unpredictable results, chipping in places sometimes maybe you would not have expected and not chipping in places you would have preferred. But most of the time, you end up with an incredibly unique and beautiful piece that is one of a kind for sure. Wikipedia points out appropriately so that it is very safe and non-toxic, including all natural ingredients like, of course, milk, casein, protein. Once mixed, you use what you have, and what is left over can be stored in the refrigerator for a limited time before it has to be tossed out. And just as a side note, you may want to put a note on that milk paint so that your friends and family don't assume it's something to eat or drink. We know many of you enjoy using milk paint. Maybe if you are a refinisher who hasn't tried it out, now's your time. If you didn't know about milk paint, well, now you do. It's time to celebrate the spring equinox in the Zebra Collective. Because spring is full of color, flowers, and sunshine, the opportunity to enter with your interpretation of a piece that looks like spring is wide open. We are excited for spring now more than ever as we look forward to bright days ahead. Any furniture refinishing beginning January 1st, 2021 through April 23rd, 2021 can be entered. A big thank you to our sponsors, Country Chic Paint, Olive and Fern, D. Lawless Hardware, The Golden Hour Art, and Zebra Paintbrushes. Make sure you tag your pieces with our hashtag, Zebra Collective. Announcing the April Zebra Review Contest. April's theme is pastels. As we transition from winter to spring, there is a bit of blending that takes place with colors. You take all the white and blues of winter, and then you mix that in with all the brilliant colors that start popping out on the trees and flowers, and well, you get pastels. We are super excited about this theme and as well about our sponsors. We have House and Canvas. We have House and Canvas, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paintbrushes. Any furniture piece painted in a single pastel color or multiple pastels from January 1st, 2021 through April 30th, 2021 can be entered simply by using the hashtag TheZebraReview. Make sure you enter. Our judging panel is eager. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.